Hey, it's Chris Jones, co-host of the Jones Zone podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode. When it concludes, do us a favor and leave a review. Leaving a review is the fastest way to grow our audience, and we want to make sure we share this podcast with the most people possible. Also, for anyone that doesn't know, Brian and I own the Jones Zone real estate team. So if you're looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, York County area, hit us up. Call or text 803-810-2230. Lastly, not only do we use this podcast as a way to help promote local business owners and entrepreneurs, but Brian and I also own Jones Zone Marketing. If you're a small or medium-sized business looking for a way to generate more leads or looking to spruce up your marketing with videos, landing pages, sales funnels, membership sites, or more, hit us up at joneszonemarketing.club, C-L-U-B. All right, enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. Brian's not here today, so I had to make you count me down. Poor guy. His daughter's... a little under the weather, so that's fine. I'll take it from here. Today, I am here with Farah Usmani, who is a one-of-a-kind scarf designer. When you wear a collection from her, you will experience a sense of gratitude for the loving, patient hands that took the time to carefully craft one of these pieces. They take months to make, and then she also uses this platform to give back to the community, and we'll talk about that with her scholarships and all that. So, Farah, welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Waving me. I thought I mispronounced your name, but I got it right. So, all right. So that's a quick, brief introduction of what you do. But if you don't mind, share a little bit of your personal story and then some of your professional background and then how you got into to making all these scarves and how you're giving back to the community and stuff.
Okay. So just in a nutshell, I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and I went to University of Illinois. And we moved here about 13 years back to Charlotte, North Carolina, because we purchased a business. And my husband and I would operate that business. And then slowly but surely, he got into real estate. And I became involved with my own cause of these scarves is because I love hand embroidery. And I'm going to be an empty nester soon. So I thought, what am I going to do with my life? Because I've been... focusing on my kids and focusing on, you know, their needs and whatever they wanted to do in the future. And in 1 year, my son's going to be graduating from high school, and I wanted to do something for myself. So I started looking for something to do, and I've always loved hand embroidery. I've always loved the way it looks, and I love the way that it makes fabric look, and I feel like it's something that needs to be preserved. But I wasn't able to find it anywhere. And if I would look and look and look, and I'd find things that were automated, machine-made, mass-produced, kind of like a assembly line where people were more interested in the profit and the scalability of it as opposed to like the uniqueness of it and who made it and what it took to make. And so I looked and I found a lady. She lives in a remote area in Pakistan, not one of the big cities. And the ladies that she employs are 51, the last time I heard, that do this hand embroidery. It takes them months to make. They use real chiffon fabric, real silk thread, and they do everything by hand. So all the scarves are one of a kind. And I started buying them for myself. And I just keep collecting. And then I found out what was happening with this collection is the women were... providing for their families. They were putting their kids through school. They were helping with the household expenses. And so I felt good that this is a beautiful item. It's helping with people's livelihood. And I'm doing something good. I'm not just buying something that's not helping someone. And I started wearing it. And people were like, where'd you get that from? Yeah. And I said, oh, I can get you one. And I started gifting them. And at Christmas time, I gave a lot of scarves away to strong, powerful women. Got a lot of nice positive feedback from people saying that it's beautiful and they would love to, you know, get more, find out about the cause and the story. And so I started talking about it and started with some help from people. I made a little website. And then the third part about it that I wanted to really do was after the Parkland shooting in Florida, when all these kids were sadly, you know, killed and a lot of them were hurt, it really hit home for me because I had a 17-year-old son. And I saw, you know, him in one of those kids, and I just thought, that's not right. I mean, kids should not have to worry about their safety. They should be able to go to school and feel secure about going to college and being able to get good grades and, you know, in America. I mean, yeah. it shouldn't be a problem. And so then I thought, well, from the proceeds that I make here, I could start a little scholarship. And the scholarship would be the graduating senior that writes the best essay, 1,000 words or less, about how your business plan can incorporate helping your community today. So it's for kids to start thinking about hopefulness and start thinking about, you know, giving back at a very young age, at 18, 19 years old, not when you're 80 and you made $1 million and you're going to have a year to live and you're like, oh, let me give it away to some foundation. Yeah. But start doing something now to make your community better and start helping others at a younger age than an older age. So this became my message, my hand-embroidered scarves, women empowerment, because it was women helping women, and public education, giving back to public education is very important for all of us, because our kids are our future. If we're not going to invest in the kids, when we're gone, who's taking over the world?
Yeah.
We have to remember that this generation is clearly going to be the next leaders and the next people that are going to control the entire world, and we have to leave them a good example of hope, safety, unification, just making things better. And I, as you can see from the Parkland shooting, students, the way they rallied and they got their message across, I mean, these kids are going to just do amazing things. I really have a really, really, really positive feeling about the next generation and what they can accomplish if they set their minds to it.
Yeah, excellent. So this kind of started as you looking for something to wear yourself, yeah. Something yeah. that was unique and special.
Yeah.
And then you kind of learned what they were doing over there in Pakistan, and you started to kind of share that message. And then, is this a nonprofit, what you got going on, or have you guys...
I don't have this is not a nonprofit, because the profits and the proceeds from these scarves, a portion of it goes to the scholarships. And I'm hoping to continue my message after this summer scholarship. I want to do a Christmas scholarship hopefully at Monroe High School. And I want to continue with other high schools in the Charlotte area. I've also been approached by Rock Hill. So we could probably get something started there, but baby steps right now.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that I give back, at least in the area where my kids went to school first, because I have a relationship with these guys through Champ Camp. And we have a pretty good footprint there. So it's been easy to get in.
Yeah. All right. So at what point, you were wearing these yourself.
Yeah.
And then people started to notice, you know, about how cool they were, and so you were able to share the story of how you got them, where you're getting them from. And then at what point did it kind of gain momentum and people were like, you know, I want to start getting, like, what point did you realize, man, I think I'm onto something here in terms of raising money and being able to give back? And
I feel like people, if you get into a cause for the right reason and sincere reason, and it's not about yourself, and if it's not about money, and if it's not about something that is kind of selfishly based, but I do want to say that giving back is probably the most selfish thing you can do in the world, because when you give back, your profit is 1,000%. It's so much more than what you would get back if you bought something and you sold it. The giving back, the way you feel, the good blessings that come around, the people that come in front of you that have absolutely nothing to do with your past, you've never met them, they're complete strangers, and they want to help, it has just been overwhelming. It's been so overwhelming. And so I gave a scarf to one of the ladies, this very powerful woman in Charlotte, and she was heading a foundation. And she said, you know what? I want you to do a silent auction at my foundation. I gave the scarf, and they raised some money. Then I gave a scarf at the Realtors Association. They raised money for Habitat for Humanity. Then I gave another scarf to another foundation. It was getting exposure, but it was also doing something good and giving a little bit back to these little organizations. And then one of the ladies said, I'm going to do a trunk show for you, and I'm going to invite people that I feel really would rally behind you and this cause. Women empowerment is huge. And the trunk show was so well received. I got so much support, and I felt like that's where my turning point was. Then Charlotte Living Magazine came, and the editor-in-chief said, we're going to do an article on you. And the next thing I know, I got the Mica Award, Mayor's Award for Global Leadership, because I had given a scarf to the mayor. Yeah. I gave it to when you have a cause, when you're passionate, when you really want to do something, you have to keep talking about it with people that you don't even think they care, but just keep talking about it. And someone's going to hit. Someone's going to just say, yeah, I get that. And the message for my cause that has been the most universal has been women empowerment. And it doesn't have to be the term feminist doesn't mean somebody that doesn't like men. It just means someone that wants equality. So if I go to college and a man goes to college, and if I apply for the same job, I should be getting the same pay as that man, because I am capable of doing the same amount of skill set that man is. And so the women empowerment movement is so huge right now, and I think it's not going to lose any momentum anytime soon. But it was the thought that you were helping someone that was a woman halfway around the world make something, create for their families, provide for their children, and you were getting something beautiful in North Carolina or South Carolina.
Yeah. So how'd that all come about? I mean, you don't just meet people from Pakistan and start doing this. I mean, what was kind of the first step in building this relationship with the person that you were buying the stuff? But what was the first step in kind of building that relationship professionally? And
I really appreciated her integrity. I appreciated the fact that she was not somebody that was trying to give me mass-produced items and saying that she was going to do something and she wouldn't do it. She had a lot of integrity. I felt like I had a lot of integrity. I wanted to pay her what she wanted me to pay her. I didn't want to skimp her or bargain with her for this, because after all, this was someone's livelihood. And I was skimping on someone's opportunity to go to school. One of the ladies that does the scarves, she's a widow, and she's sending her daughter to medical school. She wants her daughter to become a doctor. She doesn't even know how to read and write. But I think it was that message. There's so much in the universe that is checked just automatically. We don't have to do anything about it. You can call it karma. You can call it just good. Sending out good, you get good back. It's like a boomerang effect. You don't have to do anything. You just have to have the good intention to help someone, and you will get it tenfold. I really believe that, and that's what's happened to me. I'm just one person that started something, you know, from my little home in Waxhaw,
yeah.
North Carolina, because I was an empty nester. And I would have never met these people, ever. I would have never been in Charlotte Living Magazine. I would have definitely never gotten the Mica Award. Never. I just think it's because the intentions are good. That's it.
Do you know about some of the people that make the scarves? I mean, you know about the one that's a widow, but I mean, are you able to talk with them or share their stories? Like,
I have a few pictures of them that I've put on the website, and we have a couple of videos, which took me a long time to get because they're very private. I think this cause is started by a bunch of private people, including me. So they didn't want to be photographed. They definitely didn't want to be talked about, because they're like, oh, is this going to be on a website? Are people going to be able to see this? And I said, yeah, because they want to see how great the creators of these scarves are. And it took them a long time. So some of them have covered their faces. They don't, just like that picture. Some of them just don't want to be seen. But most of them come from very, very poor backgrounds. I can tell you that. They come from villages. They have kids. They have husbands. They have a really, really strong desire to provide for their families. And they have this beautiful art form that they know how to do, which I'm telling you for a fact is going away. It's so rare to find this stuff now. Even in the places like Silk Road, where you thought, you know, China and India and Pakistan, there's a lot of places that have machine-made stuff that is just not really supporting these kind of causes anymore. So I really feel like it's something that needs to be revived.
What are these scarves made out of? And it's multi-use. You said, what, 62 different uses for...
Yeah, this, I just did a search on YouTube, and I did a search on Google, and there's all these, you know, different fashion bloggers that talk about how can you wear the scarves and how many different ways can you wear the scarves. And, yeah, there was one post I saw, it was like 62 different ways, and I know of maybe 7 for sure that I can do. Yeah. But I know there's people that have created so many ways, and you can just look on any kind of website for fair trade or with just international women, and you'll see somebody wearing a scarf in a different way, and like a sarong. It could be worn on your head. It could be worn like a turban. It could be worn like a, you know, like a little scarf with like a, around your neck with jeans and a t-shirt. There's just so many different ways and interpretations of the scarf. That it's not just confined to one thing. And that's the other message, I guess, that it's become is that a piece of fabric can be a different interpretation for everyone.
Yeah.
It's the same fabric, but it doesn't matter because the way you see it is how you would wear it.
Yeah, very good. And what's it made out of? They're all handmade, but what are they?
French, like some of them are made out of French chiffon. Some are made out of silk. Some of them are made out of cotton. It just depends, but the embroidery is silk, silk thread, and they're exquisite. They're really, really beautiful. On this podcast, you probably can't.
You can't really see it, but I'll post a picture of it.
I can't describe how pretty it is.
And they take months to make.
Yeah,
what's the longest that one has taken to make?
One that is the longest that it took was 3 months. That I know of, and we name all the scarves after strong women. So one of the scarves was named Becoming Jane, after the Jane Austen novel. And the lady that bought the scarf, her name was Jane, and she bought it for her daughter, who's getting married in June. And so it just, like, we're trying to interpret these scarves, like, to represent whoever is purchasing it. So I think one of them was named... Eleanor, Elizabeth, there's so many that I can't... Mulan, just, you know, the Disney character.
And Moana.
My daughter loves Mulan, so, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. And then what's the retail on these? Or how much are they to buy?
They're the really, really, really embellished ones, the heavily embroidered ones are $279. And the ones that are a little less embroidered are $197. So it just depends on the amount of fabric work that's gone into it, which will make it more expensive or less expensive.
And then they just get them from your website?
They can get them from my website. They can email me. They can. I have trunk shows. A lot of it's been word of mouth. Like, you know, someone will buy the scarf. They'll tell their friend. They give their friend my email. And they'll email me and say, can I get one? And on this date, and then I let them come over and pick one. Sometimes, but a lot of times, it's just been word of mouth, really.
Yeah. So I know we've talked about it a little bit, but this has really opened the door for some unique experiences. I mean, you got the Mayor's International Community Award. I mean, talk about that a little bit. I know you gave her a scarf, but how did you meet her, and then how did all this happen?
Well, really, I feel like this this award was, I was very, very, very humbled, very surprised. But we have been doing this program called Champ Camp for a couple of years now. And it's basically a program about presenting high school students from the ages of like 14 to 18 opportunities to meet people from different fields of life, like medicine, attorneys, business leaders, politicians, sports figures, you name it, real estate agents, just different types of people that have different types of experiences and how they got to where they are. And it's to introduce kids to an opportunity before you major in something, before you spend $200,000 on a college education that's very expensive and takes almost a long time to pay back. Don't make a mistake and major in something you never wanted to do anyway. So it gives them the opportunity to kind of be introduced to a field that is something they're considering, and because they're talking to the person that's actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give them advice. They get to ask questions. They get to say, like, well, how did it take you to get here? What did you major in? What experiences would you change? What was your biggest mentor? Who is the person that you would consider, like, basically doing something with all over again? And what are good qualities of good business leaders? More often than not, people say it's your integrity. Your reputation always precedes you. So if you are going to be somebody that has is going to be honest, is going to keep their promise, is going to be good with money matters, you are going to have a great reputation. A lot of doors will open up to you, and vice versa. So make sure you have integrity. Integrity is the key to everything. Networking is key. Networking will always be around till the end of time. And it's really who you know and how you develop those relationships that get you to be where you're going to be successful and have all these doors open up to you just because of a simple lunch that, you know, someone said, oh, I like this guy. I'm going to recommend him for this position.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What inspired you guys to do that? And when I say you guys, it's you and your husband that run Champ Camp, right?
Yeah. So we were inspired by that because we had this really big desire to give back. We have three kids of our own. Two of them are in college. One's going to be going to college next year. But I remember, and he remembers, going into college not knowing what the heck you wanted to do.
I know.
I mean, I changed my major 7 times. And I didn't know.
That's ridiculous. How long were you in college?
4 years.
And you changed 7 times?
7 times. And I just said, no, this doesn't look good, and this doesn't look good, and that doesn't look good. And then finally, you end up with something. But even when you graduate, people, you know, you have to have, other than accountants and engineers, nobody really knows what they're doing with their degree when they get out of a 4-year school.
No, tell me about it.
Because, you know, what are you supposed to do with a history major?
Yeah.
Political science major.
Philosophy degree. It's like, all right, what are you going to do with that? It's the truth, though. That's a really noble cause that you're doing, because the money and the strife and the, not the grief, but the emotional pain that these people are going to go through. I didn't know what I was going to do either, you know?
Yeah.
And you spend all this money on this degree, and then you end up doing something that you didn't even need a degree in.
That's right.
And it's like, man, in college, I don't know how much it's costing these days. Who knows how much it's going to cost by the time my kids get there. Well, your kids are there now, so you have a better idea, but
it's outrageous.
Yeah, if you don't have a plan in place and what's your career, you don't, you know, you're better off doing a trade or something.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, people need to tell kids that.
Absolutely, because, you know, that college debt is real. And,
yeah.
And it impacts the rest of your life. I mean, if you have that debt, you know, it's going to determine what kind of house you can get, what type of loan you can get, what type of business loan you can get, how you can get to where you need to be. But that college debt is always going to be there. And it's something that needs to be taken really seriously. You don't feel it at the time, but you do feel it once you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, don't you have like 6 months before you have to start paying it back?
Something like that. Yeah. I know you can, gosh knows, I did like a deferment plan forever. Like, I can't pay it, sorry. Give me 6 more months, I'll pay it. I'll start paying it then, I promise. So how does that program work? I mean, do you connect kids with mentors, or how does Champ Camp actually?
So we, what we have done is we have partnered with Union County Public Schools, and a lot of these schools that are in Union County have kids that are interested in this Champ Camp. A lot of times our sessions are in the evenings from 6:30 to 8:30. And what we do is we have kids come by, they register on our website, And when they register on the website, they can pretty much reserve a spot. It's free. There's no cost to the kids to come. And then we book speakers from before. And the speakers that come, they're volunteering their time. So, I mean, some of these guys are, they can charge a lot of money an hour, but they're volunteering because they want to give back. And more often than not, when these speakers come, they always say to us, we wish this was around when we were their age.
No doubt.
Because the way I got to here is just, I don't know, some of it is luck, some of it is just preparation, meeting luck, and, you know, who knows. And when they come, we usually try to have two speakers, and then we have a soft skill exercise, which is called Mile High Exercise, and it focuses on one business trait that you should really perfect in your Champ Camp experience. For example, networking, teamwork, the importance of follow-up, integrity, business card etiquette. And one time we had a color personality test. So I don't know if you know what that is, but
no.
A lot of corporate retreats use color personality tests. Like if you're a green, if you're a blue, if you're a yellow, if you're a red, you're a type A personality, you're like, be brief, be bright, be gone.
Yeah.
And a lot of times CEOs are reds. If you're a green, you're emotional. So the therapist and, the, you know, tell me how you feel. Mm-hmm. Can we all work together? You know, and then the yellows are the social butterflies. So probably someone on the news, someone that likes to do public speaking, TED Talks, whatever.
Yeah.
They are very, very outgoing. And then the blues are the engineers, the analytical.
Yeah.
Give me numbers. Give me spreadsheets. Be exact. I don't really want any gray areas. So a lot of times these kids, they do the test, we figure out who they are, and they have to work together in different groups to get a project accomplished. Like one time we had a baseball team, the other time we had a rock band, ice cream shop. And how do you work together with these different personalities to get your mission accomplished?
When my brother and I started business together, we took a personality test.
Uh-huh.
Because we were like, you know, it'd be a good idea to know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we can compliment each other and pick each other up and stuff. We scored the exact same on the test.
No.
Yeah.
What, so, were you colored?
No, it was the DISC profile. Have you heard
okay.
of that one?
Mm.
Yeah, I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's different types of personalities. And we both scored the same thing. It was like, great, we're going to be double bad at what we're bad at. Thanks a lot.
That's all like... You know, some of the corporate retreats, they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on these personality tests. And why can't we give it to high school kids so they can find out who are they?
Yeah.
How can they work with different personality types before they get into college, before they major in something, before they get into the workforce? It's just the timing. And we don't give kids enough credit. They're very smart. At the age of 17, 18, 16 years old, they are very, very smart. They're like sponges. If we just introduce them to these concepts, they get it. And they will change. We've seen kids be very shy. First time they come to Champ Camp, they're sitting in a corner. They don't want to talk to anybody. And then by the second or third time, they're just like chirping away. And what we do at the registration table is, if you sign in, you come with a group of your buddies from high school. You cannot sit with them. You're the first person from that high school. You'll get table one, the next person will get table two, the next person will get table three. So everyone is forced to sit with someone they've never met before and work with them, just like life.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. How are these kids learning about Champ Camp? Just word of mouth and stuff?
Well, all of the guidance offices,
okay.
The administration offices know about it in Union County. And a lot of times they are told the date and the time. And they're told the speaker on our website. And then what they do is they register and they get the spots. We have limited seating. So a lot of times, you know, we can't take everybody. Like if it's 100 people, we can't take everyone. And it's free of cost. The only thing that sometimes we have a problem with is sometimes people have sports and different, you know, schedule clashes.
Yeah.
But we try to work to the best of our ability at 6:30 to 8:30 time frame. We start on time, we finish on time, and we know kids have school and work to do the next day, so we try not to, you know, make it too, stick to the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gotta be cool and interesting, so they'll come back and everything.
Yeah. It can't be, some of our best speakers have been speakers that talk about the audience, you know, and they get it. So when you're talking, and if you're just talking about yourself and you're not engaging with the audience, and you gotta remember these are little,
they're
younger kids. So they love it when you engage with them and start talking to them about what they like at their level. And they really respond well, really, really, really well.
Very cool. And then, so the scholarship, what inspired you to start a scholarship, and then who's eligible for it and all that?
Okay, the scholarship is for, what I was trying to do is I'm trying to focus on a high school at a time. So this time my focus was Piedmont. The next time I'm focusing on Monroe, and then I'm going to just try to spread it out as far as I can as the time goes on. The scholarship is for graduating seniors. They can only apply if they're going to be a graduating senior, and they have to write a 1,000-word essay or less about their business plan and how it incorporates the community they serve and they live in. So with that in mind, they will have a business plan that is not just about the mission statement and about the P&L and about, you know, a 4-year projection. This is where we see ourselves in 10 years or whatever, you know. But it's also about, I'm this store and I'm working in this community and there's a lot of needs in this community that need my help. How do I incorporate that, some of my profits, like 10%, whatever they want to choose to do, into serving the community first? And you know, oddly enough, it's going to be a great business plan for most people, because when they find out that this business is giving back to the community they serve, their business is going to go up anyway. It's not even going to be a question whether it's going to go up, because people really have a desire to give back. Really, really. Sometimes people don't have time. Sometimes people don't have an organized effort. Sometimes people don't have the means. But everyone's got time. Everyone has something they can do, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's their advice. Everyone can do a little bit to make things better. And in turn, make yourself feel better. Really.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the story of Tom's Shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a lot of that type of vibe to it, too, you know?
They buy a pair of shoes for someone in Africa?
Yeah, like for every pair they sell, they give one to a family in need a child in need, I guess. I think it is Africa.
Right?
I can't remember.
It's very popular with the teenage kids, I know.
Yeah. Have you given out any scholarships yet?
My first scholarship will be presented on May 23rd.
Wow.
Yes.
Does the recipient know that?
No, they told me to keep it anonymous. The guidance office knows, and I'm going to be presenting it at the senior night. I'm taking my photographer, who is also a young kid. She's taking the photographs, and we're going to be presenting that to the lucky winner.
Yeah. Now, is this just for the freshman year, or is this a 4-year scholarship? Or?
Oh, no, it's nothing huge.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be like anything, like, you know. It's very small. It's probably just going to be enough to buy some dorm shopping.
Okay.
But just, I wanted to get the message out.
Yeah, that's still a great idea and great cause. Do the women that make the scarves know about all your community outreach? Why not?
Because, I'm trying to make a mission trip out there.
Okay.
I'm going to probably go see them and probably talk to them in person. I mean, it took me a long time to get their photographs. So I do want to tell them about what they're doing, what type of ripple effect they've created.
Yeah, I feel like they'd be very proud of that. You should definitely do that and let them know.
Actually, the lady that's also part of the scarves and the, you know, overseeing all these ladies with the supplies and the productivity of it, she's building a vocational school there.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be a computer science lab and for women in that area. So that has nothing to do with what I'm doing, but it's nice that the person that we happen to be partnering with is also considering the same thing, education, giving back, you know, helping communities that you serve.
Yeah, similar minds for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any role models that you look
that
up to?
I liked, I don't know. I mean, there's so many role models that I find interesting and I find inspirational. I don't really know if I can think of one. One that's really always kind of hit home for me is Oprah.
Okay.
Just because I know sometimes she comes off as being someone that's very overwhelming sometimes, but I feel like she always made people feel like they can do anything.
Yeah.
And she always had this message of, you know, improving your life and making things better and helping others. And just, I guess the most inspirational part about her story is where she came from and where she is now. And when you see people from that type of background and the adversities she had to overcome to get to where she is, it just gives you hope to, yeah, you know, think that you can do something too. And I love the way she continues to send her message out to women and to other people to keep on giving back.
Oprah's kind of taken for granted a little bit, because she's been in our lives for so long. Mm-hmm. But like, wasn't she like raped at age 12 and lot of this horrible stuff?
And she grew up
stuff.
In Mississippi.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think about it, there's like a lot of there's a lot of stuff in her background that can really make you think like there's no way.
Yeah. I can't remember the specifics, but I remember reading something where she was, I think she was raped and got pregnant, mm-hmm, and then had a miscarriage, mm-hmm, like when she was like a kid, like, mm-hmm, 12.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then I remember, you know, she was real big into The Secret when the book came out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The Law of Attraction. And I remember listening to her talk about getting The Color of Purple.
Yes.
The movie role and all that. So I think she's a good one. She's someone that people kind of take for granted just because she's been around for so long. But if you read her story or listen to her speak, it's she's got some pretty powerful stuff.
You know what thing I love about Oprah is I feel like I really admire people that are genuine and people that live their truth. It doesn't even matter what that truth is or if you don't agree with it. But I love people that are genuine. Like, you know, and she owns it. Like, she didn't want to get married, she didn't get married. She didn't want to have kids, she didn't have kids. She wanted to do what she wanted to do. She ended her show at 25th year of her show. It was over. She said, I'm done. And whatever she did in her life, she did it with purpose and truth.
Yeah.
And she's very loyal, like her friendship with Gail. And because Gail saw something in her when other people didn't, she never gave up on that. I love that about her, her genuineness and her loyalty.
Yeah.
I just think she's killing it.
<She's> Clearly. Yeah. Hey, Oprah, I think you're going to be just fine.
You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think
also,
she'll be
her
fine.
Message resonates with a lot of people. That's why she does. Everyone loves, like, an underdog. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the kind of stories people are always rooting for.
And she got fired from her first newscasting gig.
Yeah.
Said she couldn't make it on television.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man. All right. Well, let's take a few minutes to kind of bring it home here. Remind everybody who you are and how they can get in touch with you and how they can get their hands on one of these awesome scarves and how they can contribute to all the amazing things you're doing.
Okay, so I have a little Women Helping Women cause, and I am very proud of it. It's a revival of hand embroidery, something that's going away very quickly because of automation. Just like people are saying tellers are going to go away and cashiers are going to go away and all these people that are going to be replaced by machinery, hand embroidery, sadly, in the world is going away. It's something that is not easily found, but I feel like I'm trying my best to revive it in my own little way by partnering with women in villages of Pakistan, getting these scarves made, and I am buying them, and I have them here. Some of the proceeds from these scarves go to scholarships in Union County, which is where I live, and I feel like it's very important to give back to the place you live, not just the place you came from. America has been my home all my life. I'm probably going to die here. So I didn't feel right by not helping the schools, because schools in this country, especially public education, I'm a product of it, my kids are a product of it, need help. We need to support these kids. We need to tell them that there's a hope in the future. If you give back to the communities you live in, make sure you remember when you become successful and you're a business owner, and you are able to give back, do it before your life's over, way before your life's over. Don't wait till you're old and very rich. Do it when you're young and have a lot of energy.
Yeah, see the fruits of your cause.
See the fruits of your cause. And third, and for me, is women empowerment, women helping women. We are a very, very strong community. We have a lot of men that support women causes. My father was one of them. My husband is one of them. And I feel like this is our time to just tell people that go to school, girls that go to school, boys that go to school, they deserve equal pay. They deserve equality, and they deserve a chance to make a better life for themselves. It should not be even a point of contention in 2018. How can you get a hold of one of these scarves? I have a website. It's called farahosmani.com. Usually that is the best way, or you can email me. I can respond to you, and I'll be more than happy to help you in that way. We have a lot of business that is really word of mouth. It's been organically growing. I don't have a fancy website right now. I'm working on that. But it's just really been trunk shows and word of mouth that's been making this thing get to a bigger level.
Awesome.
Than I expected.
Yeah, well, you're doing amazing things, and congrats on all the successes and the awards and the Champ Camp and everything you got going on.
Thank you.
Farah, it was a pleasure to have you on the Jones Zone. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.